Welcome to Popular Cultural Cherry. My name is Lawin and I am your host. In this podcast, we give you an outsider's perspective about European life, culture, and pretty much anything that is connected to this continent. So get ready to learn something new in a light and entertaining way. So welcome back, everyone, to Popular Cultural Cherry. Today, we have a very special guest, again, from Berlin in Germany. Her name is Mia Sari. She's originally from Indonesia, but has been living in Berlin for the last 5+ years. She works in advertising, but at the same time, also has her own startup. And funny thing is that she was introduced to me by the last person who was on my show, who's Chiara, who spoke about her tips on job hunting abroad. So it's kind of interesting that she led me to my next guest for my show. So yeah, thanks a lot, Chiara. I thought it would be very interesting to get Mia on my show because she has a very inspiring story about grit and sticking to your gut, especially because she came to Europe actually with a tourist visa, found a way to convert that into a work visa, and now she actually has her own startup. So as always, let's go into the actual interview. So yeah, so thank you, Mia, for joining us today. I think it would be very interesting for everyone to know like how you, someone from Indonesia, which is actually a country that's really close to the Philippines, so I can quite relate to you a lot. How did you end up in Germany and what's your story?
Hey, Lawin, thanks for inviting me to your podcast. I think to tell you the reason or how I ended up in Germany is quite a long story, but I can share you the short story. So before I moved to Germany, I was working in Singapore. And as you know, Singapore is a very expensive country and everything is more fast-paced in a way. So I got a bit of burnt out. So I decided to quit my job at that time. And I decided maybe I could just travel around Europe for a few months, just to reset my mind and just to check different cultures, have a different perspective in life. So that's what I decided to do. And I chose Berlin as my initial place, also as my home base, because I've never been to Berlin before. So therefore, I booked a flight to Berlin and then I decided to stay in Berlin for a few months and then I travel around Europe and making my Berlin as my home base at that time. And as I was living in Berlin, I also decided to learn German as well. So I thought while I was traveling, maybe I could do something useful to learn the language. So that's also what I did in Berlin. And I really like Berlin so much. So I decided, maybe I could get a job here in Germany. So I just had that idea and I spread my CV and I got the job and that's how I got to Germany.
Awesome story. You started as a tourist and then you ended up finding a job. You ended up liking Berlin so much. So I have two questions for you based on your short story. First, so why did you leave Singapore? If Singapore is so great, is it just because of just getting burned out, or is there something else that you know you didn't really like about your last job or your life in Singapore?
So as you know, Singapore is an amazing country. Everything is very clean. Everything is very nice there. But at that time, I didn't have the right mindset. I think I'd been living in Singapore for 3 years at that time, and I caught myself comparing myself to others. You know, everyone in Singapore seems to earn very well. So if you're in a social situation and I caught myself to compare to others, I was unhappy with a stupid stuff, you know, like how much I'm making and my job title. So I didn't think that it was very healthy at that time for myself. So I thought maybe I should take a break. Maybe I should just take a step back and then see like what I want from there. So that's actually the reason why I love Singapore, just to have a healthy break from all of this toxic mindset.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, Singapore is very fast-paced and a lot more, I won't say modern, but just the way of life is very different compared to Germany, especially Germany. And I can imagine how you get burnt out there. But yeah, so another question I wanted to ask you is, you picked Berlin. You picked Berlin because you've never been there. And once you made it to Berlin, once you traveled to Berlin as a tourist, what made you really like the city? Like, what made you fall in love and say, oh, I just want to visit the city because I haven't been there, but now I want to stay. So what is that reason for you to really, you know, stay there?
Yes, it was actually quite weird. I'm sure you've been to Berlin before. I think coming from Singapore, when I arrived in Berlin for the very first time, I was actually quite scared because everything not very organized. And I think coming from a very safe country like Singapore, Berlin seems like a ghetto. So I didn't have a good first impressions of Berlin. I was actually quite scared to go to anywhere. And then I started to get to know people and their way of life. And I think what really attracted me to live in Berlin is the freedom, just the freedom to be whoever that I want to be, to wear whatever I want to wear and to say what I want to say, this kind of freedom, because I come from Indonesia, right? It's a very conservative country where as a woman, I need to pay attention to what I'm wearing if I go outside. But in Berlin, I can just wear whatever I want to wear, depends on my mood. For example, I can wear a costume, like a crazy stuff. And that's just a small thing. But also the lifestyle itself, people really don't care where you're from, how much you're making. As long as you're nice and we can get along, then we can be friends. So all of those stuff, that is really a big reason why I want to stay here until now.
Actually, funny thing is I've never been to Berlin yet. I've never been to Berlin. Yeah, I know. I've never been to Berlin, but I've always wanted to go. And I think one of the things that would make people who've never visited Berlin quite interested in visiting Berlin is actually the nightlife. And I don't know if that was also something that you considered when you moved. Because as I remember, Singapore has a pretty nice nightlife as well.
Yeah.
But it's super expensive. I just remember the drinks are super expensive. How do you find the nightlife in Berlin? And do you have the chance to enjoy it at all pre-Corona pandemic?
Yes, of course. Oh my God. I feel like when it comes to nightlife in Berlin, in Singapore, I like to go out as well with my friends and with my colleagues. We had fun. But I think nightlife in Berlin, when I first experienced it, it was something that just opened my eyes. I was just thinking to myself, holy mother of God. It's just as crazy as you thought it could be. Just people wear whatever they like, people do whatever they like, and people are minding their own business. So it's quite different, because I feel like when you're in a club in Singapore or in Jakarta, you tend to pay attention to what you're wearing, and you want to, I don't know, you want to have fun, but also be cute on the same time. But in Berlin, people, I don't know, they're just in their own world. And you basically just have the freedom to be whoever that you want to be.
That's cool. And you mentioned Jakarta as well. So I think you told me the first time we spoke that you're originally from Jakarta.
Yes.
So your parents are there as well right now or in other parts of...
Yes.
They're in Jakarta, right?
My dad is still in Jakarta. My mom is in the in other city, Surabaya.
Do they have an understanding of how your life is in Berlin? And like, what do they know actually about Berlin? Because based on what you just said,
yeah.
Like Jakarta, comparing Jakarta to Berlin is super different. And also for me, from Manila, I think Manila is a bit less conservative than Jakarta. Mm-hmm. Also still very different from Germany in general. So how are you able to manage this culture shock? And what do your parents actually tell you about this?
Actually, for my mom, she also comes visit me in Berlin, right? But every time she's here, we do the normal tourist stuff. You know, we go to the Alexanderplatz, we go to the Berlin Wall. I also accompany my mom to go to the church. So we don't really speak about the Berlin's nightlife. I'm sure she knows, but it's the topic that we don't talk about.
Okay, now let's switch a little bit from, you know, the culture of the different places you've lived in to actually what you do in Berlin. So is what you're doing now in Berlin actually related to what you were doing back in Singapore? And how did you kind of manage this whole situation from being a tourist to actually getting a job and doing all the visa work? Because it's not easy. I know it because I'm also a foreigner and I came to Germany without speaking any German. So I know how big of a headache it is dealing with all these stuff. So how did you manage this?
I think looking back, if I had an advice that I would give to myself, I would definitely say to prepare better when it comes to the paperwork, when it comes to the preparations for visa applications, because at that time, I didn't have the goal to move to Germany, right? I didn't prepare all of this visa paperwork stuff. So I came with a tourist visa, which was on paper. According to the German law, you cannot actually turn it into a work visa. When I applied for a job here and I got the work contract, I didn't have the expat, service, where the company will do everything for your job application, for your visa. So I had to do everything myself. And that was actually quite a pain because I needed to contact my university in Indonesia to provide all of the paperwork, because in Germany, your university certificate needs to be validated by the institution here, just so that they know that you actually went to university. And there's a lot of those paperwork. If I prepared better, it would have been faster and less painful. But because I didn't know that I would stay here, it really took quite some time. And actually, I got lucky. I think luck is also a factor. As mentioned earlier, it was impossible to change your visa from tourist visa to work visa. But I had a very nice conversation with the lady from the immigration office, and she actually kind of like took a pity on me. So she gave me a temporary visa so that I can stay in Germany without going back to Indonesia until my work visa is ready. You know, if I came with the perspective that, oh my God, it would be difficult to get a visa, I would probably never apply for any jobs here because I already had this stereotype that it would be difficult to do. But I just came without knowing anything. I just followed my gut that, oh, okay, I like living here. Maybe I could get a job. And then I just followed all of the process.
Amazing. I really like your mindset because that actually takes a lot of confidence and a lot of what you said, just said, you followed your gut. And actually this decision of yours, you kind of just followed your own gut without really planning anything, which actually worked out for you. But a lot of people wouldn't do it this way. But I really admire the courage and the confidence you had in yourself that, yeah, you know, I'm here. I'm going to try my best. I'll see what I can do. And you actually made it work. You were able to manage your documents, right? You got your visa, the lady kind of helped you. And how did you actually find your job?
First, when I knew that, okay, I wanted to get a job here, the first thing I did was, of course, to update my LinkedIn, reach out to a lot of companies and to check all of the job openings on LinkedIn. And I also reach out to my former colleagues back in Singapore, if they have some sort of referral that they can give to any companies here in Europe. So that's the first thing I did. And I just went through all of the interviews. And of course, a lot of companies would reject me because of my visa situation, right? But because I think in Germany as well, they start to open themselves, especially in my industry, digital advertising. They need also a lot of resources. That's why I found a company who can, in a way, sponsor my visa.
Amazing. And is this the same company you're working for right now, or have you switched along the way?
So I've switched along the way. So the previous company that I worked at actually got closed down because they're running out of funds. So I'm currently working at Xandr. So we provide platforms to run programmatic advertising for agencies. It's been great so far.
Okay, cool. So currently you work full time for this company. As you mentioned when we first spoke to each other, you also run your own kind of startup, or you started your own startup. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about this and how you're able to, you know, manage your full-time job, this startup, and how you actually, you know, got involved in this venture of yours.
Actually, I mentioned to you earlier that I got laid off by my previous company. And I think in Germany, they have a very nice system, unemployment scheme. If you get unemployed, then the government will cover your expenses until you get a new job. So I use that to kind of like have a break for myself and think about what I want to do. And at that time, I started to check out the startup scene in Berlin, because it's very flourishing in Berlin. There's a lot of startup scene here. And I found an accelerator. It's called Founder Institute. So basically, this accelerator can teach you how to start a startup from scratch. So not only the ideation, but also the legal part. So they really help you step by step to build your own startup. So I decided to apply, but at that time I didn't have the money to pay for the tuition fee, because I think you need to pay around 900 USD to go through the program. And at that time I knew that I was about to get laid off, so I couldn't spend that much money. But I decided, okay, I will just apply for the accelerator and see how it goes. So after I applied, because I needed to take a test, they call it Entrepreneur DNA test, to check if you got what it takes to be an entrepreneur. Like, so I passed the test. I was so happy. But then, of course, I still had the problem that I didn't have the money. But at that time, I was thinking to myself, okay, I'm going to swallow my pride. I'm just going to tell them the truth. I really want to join the program, but I didn't have the money. Do you have some sort of fellowship program that I can apply to? And then they get back to me after that. It was actually quite fast. And then they said, yes, we have, but you need to answer these three questions. So these questions are basically, why am I the right person for the fellowship? And just to prove myself in that way. So I told them about myself, about my mission, that I really wanted to do something for women, especially for girls, because I came from Indonesia, from conservative countries. If I have a startup, I really want to do something that can empower girls to reach their potential. So that has always been my mission. So I got in, and they gave me the fellowship. So I got in for free. That was the beginning of my startup journey, actually. And through the Founder Institute program, I think in the middle of the program, I managed to set up the startup called Just You Know. So it's a gaming studio, and our mission is to empower girls to reach their potentials through our games. And I'm working on this startup with a friend of mine that I met in Singapore, Brie, and she's a game designer. So, and at the moment, we've been working on our first game, which is a mobile game that highlights the story of real female role models. So that's basically how I started in the startup world.
Oh, cool. So this mobile game is already available, like on App Store?
No, not yet. So at the moment, we're currently working on the beta version. So okay. If you want to be a beta tester, you can go to www.justjuno.co. And then we will reach out to you once we open for beta.
I just wanted to ask one question. So you mentioned a lot about, you know, you coming from Indonesia and you wanted to do something about women. So maybe you can provide us some background of how it is in Indonesia for most women growing up. I don't know, maybe what's your experience as well in Germany with this kind of difference, you know?
Yes. Okay. So I think growing up as a kid, for me, I was always told by my parents, my grandparents, okay, you're a girl, you can study hard, you can be smart, you can have a nice job, but by the end of the day, you need to find a man and have a family. So I have the feeling that growing up, that is actually the main goal for women. And until I moved abroad, then it really opened my eyes that there are multiple different ways that you could live as a woman. You can have a family and run your own company, or you can be single, live your life as a nomad artist, for example. And that's basically what I want to show on the games itself, a lot of different possibilities. Because when I moved to Germany, for example, and I talked to a lot of female founders, that actually gave me the idea for my startup Just, you know, because I thought, oh, maybe I could do this on my own. Maybe I could create a company, I could create something that could help other girls as well.
No, that's really amazing. And that's really inspiring because we have the same kind of culture in the Philippines. Although right now it's a bit more equal in the corporate world, but you still see a lot of women are being prepped, especially from like poorer families, are being prepared for a life of just, you know, serving their husbands or being, you know, a companion to their husbands, but not really having a career that's based on science or on whatever, engineering. I really like this idea. And hopefully you guys can reach your goal and really make a difference.
Thank you.
But going back to your story, right? So you said you worked with an accelerator and you spoke a little bit about the startup scene in Berlin and how this affected you.
Yeah.
So maybe you can say what this accelerator program you joined, how did it actually help you get to where you are now?
To be honest, they have been very, very helpful for my startup journey because, as mentioned earlier, I didn't have any experience at all running a startup on my own. I was always working my whole career. So they really helped me not only with the whole administration process, like contract or how to raise funding, how to deal with the legal process. They do not only help me with that, but they also help me to connect with a startup mentors, with startup advisors, with investors as well. And now I still have a lot of friends from this accelerator, the whole batch from our startup year. And we still have the catch up regularly just to check how everyone's doing, how the startup is doing, and how we can help one another. So they are very, very helpful with that. And I feel like it's some sort of, how do you call it, like a village in a way, because we'll get to know, you will bump into them in all kind of startup events. Actually, in Germany, you always bump into people from Founder Institute. So it's kind of nice to have that kind of feelings. You're not alone. And that's also what taught me, like, to always ask for help, because they are always ready to help, actually.
Awesome. They help you in a lot of ways. And one of it is or might have been like the legal process or the administrative process.
Yes.
And for those people who don't know, actually Germany is quite notorious for having a very bureaucratic process in terms of doing any kind of process with the government that involves the government. So there's a lot of paperwork, a lot of waiting or whatever. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can share with us what your experience was with working with the German government in terms of setting up your startup.
So actually, initially in the beginning, I also had the same thought. I thought it would be, oh my God, it's going to be so painful. It's going to involve a lot of paperwork, because that's the thing that we heard from the media, right? How the German loves bureaucracy. But the truth is, yes, it's true. But what I also like about it, the process is actually, they lay down all of the process on the website. You can find it. It's so easy to find what you need to provide. And what I needed to do, just to follow their instruction, just to provide all of the paperwork that they need. For example, my passport, the bank account, for example. I just followed the instructions step by step that they provided. And it is actually super easy, easier than I thought, because my startup, for example, I could set it up in 3 weeks.
But everything's still via post mail, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Not digital.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yes, you have paperwork's for real paper.
Yeah. So if, for example, there's somebody listening from, I don't know, maybe the Philippines or Indonesia, who's a young girl.
Yeah.
Who's maybe fresh out of uni, maybe lacks the confidence and maybe has very conservative background. What kind of advice would you want to give to these kind of girls who, you know, are ambitious, but at the same time, maybe they're being held back by some conservative values, or maybe how they would be perceived by society?
Yeah, that's a good question, Lawin, because to be honest, as a girl coming from Indonesia, I always thought about that all the time. And lately, I've learned to not think about what other people think and just follow my gut. So if I would give any advice to these girls, definitely to trust yourself, follow your guts, because everything will take care of itself, no matter where you end up, where you will be. And I just feel like if you are brave enough to go out in the world, just to be more open-minded on how people live, then you will live such a rich life.
Yeah, and that's really good advice that you can give to young people. It's all about, yeah, just follow. I mean, you did it. You came to Germany on a tourist visa. You found the job. You started your own startup. I mean, you are like the poster child of following your gut and making it big in Berlin. If there's younger women listening to this from whatever, a very conservative background, then you are like a living testament of what you're actually capable of doing if you follow, you know, what you believe in and become confident. So yeah, Mia, before we let you go, maybe you can talk a little bit about your startup and your future plans for your startup.
Yes, future plan for my startup, as mentioned earlier, I would definitely love to launch it, especially to reach the players, the girls. On top of that, we also plan for the startups or for the games, once we have enough profits, to actually channel the profits to provide free education for girls. I think the topic that really close to my heart is definitely coding, programming, science, and math. So we really want to not only produce mobile games that can have impact to the girls, but we also want to have a direct action towards providing education, free educations like coding schools for girls or science school for girls. So that's the vision. I know that we're still baby at the moment, so baby steps.
Mia, thank you so much for being a part of my show. I'll be leaving the link to your website, and also I'll leave a link for the listeners to, you know, who want to reach out to you so that they can reach out to you for, I don't know, support, or maybe they have some ideas for your company.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lawin.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Pop Your Cultural Cherry. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast streaming platforms. To be updated with our latest episodes, don't forget to give us a like and a follow on our Facebook page and our Instagram account.